Okay, so, we've been talking about getting a handle on the costs involved with running a business, right? And something every business owner faces is how much it costs to actually take payments, right? It's not free.
Right.
So, you brought in this information from Payment Collect, a payment processor, and it seems like, we want to dive into this material today and figure out what's really going on with these fees because it seems like there are a lot of them.
Yeah, it's a very complex topic.
It is.
And it seems like Payment Collect's trying to be transparent, but still, at the end of the day, it's complex. So we'll do our best to unpack it and see what we can learn.
Yeah, and maybe help out our listeners a bit too, because I think the big question for any business owner is how much does it really cost to process payments? Like, what am I actually looking at here?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so Payment Collect right off the bat gives us this general range. It seems like a good starting point, 0.1 to 2.4%.
Right. Yeah.
But they're quick to say that's just an estimate.
Yeah. Well, anytime you see a range like that, I think you got to think to yourself, okay, why is it a range? What are the different factors that are going to affect that? And I think that's what we're going to dive into today.
Exactly. Yeah. And they actually right away lay out those factors. They break it down into three main categories: these interchange plus fees, software fees, if you're using like a POS system, right,
Right.
point of sale system, or if you have a website, a payment plugin, and then these independent organization fees, or ISO fees, they call them.
Right.
And they even give us some like sample amounts
Right.
to get us thinking, anywhere from $1.90 to $3.10 per $100 process, plus a few cents on top of that just for interchange plus.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then they say, software can run you 20 to 40 bucks a month.
Okay.
And ISO fees around 20 bucks a month. So it starts to paint a picture, but.
Right, but is that the whole picture?
Right, exactly. So I guess, for a business trying to really understand this, where do we go from here?
Well, the source material actually mentions that there are many costs associated with payment processing. It's not just those three buckets. They actually list a few more.
Oh,
They
yeah.
mentioned equipment fees, support fees, and gateway fees on top of the three you just mentioned.
Oh, wow. So it's even more complicated than we thought.
Yes. And those additional costs are important to understand because they can add up quickly, especially for certain types of businesses.
Right. Okay. So let's go one by one. I guess maybe starting with interchange fees, since that seems to be like the big one that they mentioned over and over.
Right. Yeah. The source material even calls that the foundation of processing costs. And it seems like every business is subject to them.
Okay. So if I'm a business owner looking at my statement, like what am I actually looking at?
So imagine one of your customers comes in. They swipe their credit card to buy something. An interchange fee is essentially a fee that gets paid on that transaction between the banks involved.
So my bank and the customer's bank.
Exactly. So your business's bank, that's called the acquiring bank, and then your customer's bank, that's the issuing bank because they issue the credit card.
Okay.
And this fee helps cover things like, the cost of providing the credit card service. The issuing bank has to fund those rewards programs your customer might be using.
Oh, right.
They have their own operational costs and handling costs. They've got to think about fraud and potential bad debt.
Makes sense.
And just the general risk they take on when they approve every single payment. So that's where interchange comes in.
Okay, so it's kind of like the issuing bank making sure they're covered for providing the card and all of the services that come with it.
Exactly.
So who actually sets this interchange fee? They mentioned like Visa, MasterCard.
Those are the big ones. And those are actually the ones that are setting those interchange fees.
The credit card companies.
Yeah, the credit card companies, the payment networks.
Okay.
So you've got Visa, MasterCard, Discover, JCB, American Express, they're all in there.
Got it.
And those fees aren't actually static either.
What do you mean?
They change them, they revise them every 6 months.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of times those go up.
So this is something I got to keep an eye on as a business owner.
Absolutely. And Payment Collect says that this interchange fee can often be the largest single portion of all the fees that you're paying.
Oh, really? So like the biggest chunk is this interchange fee.
Yeah. And it makes sense. When you think about it, it's the cost of moving money through this complex system.
Right.
And all those different players, want to get their cut.
It's more than just a simple fixed cost, though, right? The document talks about a complex pricing structure.
Oh, yeah, it can get super
What
complicated.
makes it so complicated?
Now, think about it. Every time a customer swipes their card, there are all these different factors that go into figuring out what that interchange fee is going to be.
Oh, gosh.
So, for example, it depends on the brand of the card. So, Visa, MasterCard, Discover, they'll all have different interchange rates.
Oh. Okay.
It depends on where the transaction takes place geographically.
What?
Yeah, different regions can have different rates. It depends on what type of card it is. A basic debit card, a premium rewards credit card, those all have different costs. Okay, it
Okay.
depends on what kind of business you are and how big you are.
Yeah.
Different businesses get categorized differently, and that affects the rate.
So I get, if I'm a small, coffee shop, it might be
Yeah.
different than if I'm a huge retailer.
Exactly. And even how the transaction's processed matters.
What do you mean?
So, like if it's an in-store swipe versus an online purchase versus a phone order, those can all have different rates.
Really?
Yeah. And whether the physical card was present or not present during the transaction can affect the rate too.
So, like, if I take a payment over the phone versus somebody handing me their card, what's
Exactly.
the difference?
That can make a difference. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And typically, this fee is structured as a combination of a small flat fee, like a few cents, plus a percentage of the total purchase price.
Okay, so it's like a little bit of both every time.
Yeah, it's a little bit of
So
both.
no wonder that estimate from Payment Collect was such a big range.
Right, it's because they have to account for all those possibilities.
Exactly. Okay. They also mentioned something called a merchant fee.
Right.
Is that the same as an interchange fee, or is it something different?
It is different, but it is related to the overall cost of accepting cards.
Okay.
It's basically the fee that goes towards funding all those customer perks that come with those fancy credit cards.
So, like the cash back and the rewards points and stuff.
Exactly. So, those airline miles, those points you get for spending, that all cost money.
Right.
And that's where the merchant fee comes in.
Okay.
It's a way for the payment networks to basically recoup some of that cost from the businesses that are accepting those cards.
I see.
And the document actually touches on this debate about whether businesses should be allowed to charge different prices for cash versus credit.
Oh, yeah, I've seen signs like that sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. And that's because businesses are trying to account for the fact that it costs them more to process credit card transactions because of this merchant fee.
Interesting. So it's kind of like a behind-the-scenes cost that we as consumers don't always see.
Exactly.
Okay. Next up, we have ISO fees. They mention those as a separate thing.
Right. So ISO stands for Independent Sales Organization.
Okay.
And these are basically companies that act as intermediaries between your business and the payment processing network.
Okay, so kind of like a middleman.
Yeah, exactly. And they can play a really important role, especially for small businesses, because they can help you set everything up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they can provide the hardware, like the credit card terminals.
Yeah, okay.
They can help you set up your POS system, your point of sale system. They can offer support and even generate reports to help you manage all your transactions.
So for a business owner who doesn't want to deal with all that technical stuff, it sounds like it's kind of convenient to have an ISO handle it.
Absolutely. Yeah, they can definitely streamline the process and make it a lot easier to get started with accepting card payments.
But the document also mentions that they assume the risk. What does that mean?
Yeah, that's a really important point to understand. ISOs actually take on some financial risk when they work with you.
How so?
So let's say, for example, there's a fraudulent transaction processed through your account.
Oh no.
Yeah. Well, ISO might end up being responsible for covering some of that initial loss.
Oh, wow.
Or if a customer pays you for goods or services and then your business goes under before you can deliver those goods or services, the ISO might be on the hook for refunding that customer.
Oh,
So
gosh.
they're taking on some real financial risk by partnering with you.
I see.
And that's a part of the reason why they charge that ISO fee.
So it's kind of like an insurance premium almost
Yeah, you could think of it that way.
to cover the risk that they're taking on.
Right, and the fee also covers the cost of all those extra services they provide.
Right, like the support and the reporting and all that.
Exactly, and the document specifically states that this ISO fee is charged in addition to those interchange costs.
Oh, so it's not like they're just bundling it all together.
Nope, it's a separate line item on your statement.
Okay, so that's something to keep in mind when you're comparing different processors.
Absolutely.
Make sure you're looking at all the fees, not just the interchange rate.
Exactly.
Okay, last one on this list is the gateway fee.
Right.
When does this one come into play?
This is mainly for businesses that do transactions online.
Okay.
So if you have an e-commerce website or you use online invoicing or anything like that, you're going to need a payment gateway.
Okay.
And that gateway is basically a secure way to transmit the payment information from your customer's computer to your payment processor.
So it's kind of like a digital middleman.
Exactly. It makes sure that the transaction is secure and that the data is protected.
Okay.
And the document gives an example here of Authorize.net, which is a really popular payment gateway.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're doing any kind of online business, you're probably going to be familiar with that name.
Okay.
And that gateway is going to charge you a fee for their services.
So that's another line item on the bill.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've gone through all these different fees, and it's a lot to keep track of.
It is, yeah.
But the document then goes into this interesting discussion about different pricing models.
Right.
And they start by talking about QuickBooks and how they used to use a flat rate model way back in 1993.
Yeah, it's kind of fascinating to see how things have evolved over time.
Yeah, what was the thinking behind that model?
Well, QuickBooks was one of the first companies to really integrate payment processing into their software.
Okay.
And they wanted to make it as simple as possible for their customers to understand.
Makes sense.
So they came up with this flat rate model where they basically charged a single percentage fee on every transaction.
So no matter what kind of card it was or what the amount was, it was always the same percentage.
Exactly.
Hmm. I could see how that would be appealing. Like, it's very predictable.
Right. You always know what you're going to pay, so it's easy to budget for.
But they don't use that model anymore, do they?
No, they don't.
So what happened?
Well, it turns out that the flat rate model became kind of inefficient.
How so?
Well, for a couple of reasons. First of all, the underlying interchange costs that we talked about, those started to go up over time.
Okay.
And second, the popularity of rewards credit cards really started to take off.
Right. Everybody wants those points.
Exactly. And those rewards cards come with higher interchange fees.
Oh, I see.
So QuickBooks was stuck charging this flat rate that didn't really account for those differences.
So they were losing money on some transactions.
Yeah, exactly. They were basically subsidizing those rewards card users.
Oh, gosh. That's not a sustainable business model.
No, it's not. And eventually they realized that they needed to switch to a different model.
So what did they switch to?
They switched to what they call the most adopted pricing model in the industry today.
Which is?
Interchange Plus.
Okay, so let's talk about Interchange Plus, because it seems like that's the one that most businesses need to understand now.
Right.
What's the basic idea behind it?
So as the name suggests, it has two parts, the interchange fee, which we already discussed.
Right.
And then a markup that the processor adds on top.
Okay, so they're being transparent about the interchange fee, and then they're just charging me a separate fee for their services.
Exactly. And that markup is typically a small percentage of the transaction plus a small per transaction fee.
Okay, so it's kind of like they're saying, look, we're not hiding anything. Here's what the banks are charging you, and here's what we're charging you.
Right, exactly. And it makes it a lot easier for you to track your expenses and see where your money is going.
So compared to the flat rate model, is this better for businesses?
Well, it depends.
On what?
It depends on your business and the types of transactions you process.
Okay.
So with flat rate, the main advantage is that it's simple.
Right. We talked about that.
You know exactly what you're going to pay every time.
But you might be overpaying.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You could be overpaying, especially if you process a lot of debit card transactions or transactions with those basic non-reward credit cards.
Because those have lower interchange fees, right?
Exactly. And with a flat rate model, you're paying that same high rate no matter what kind of card it is.
Right. So I guess it really averages out the cost across all the different transactions.
Exactly.
Okay. So what about Interchange Plus then?
So with Interchange Plus, you're paying the actual interchange rate, which can fluctuate. Mm-hmm. But then you're also paying that predictable processor markup on top of that.
Okay.
So if you have a lot of those lower cost transactions like debit cards or standard credit cards, you can actually save money with Interchange Plus.
Because you're not paying that inflated flat rate.
Right.
I see.
So it really comes down to understanding your business and the mix of transactions that you process.
Right. So I guess like if you're a business that does a lot of high dollar transactions with rewards cards, maybe flat rate isn't so bad.
Yeah. You might not see a big difference.
But if you're a business that does a lot of small transactions or you have a lot of customers using debit cards,
then Interchange Plus could potentially save you a lot of money. Yeah. It's definitely worth taking the time to compare the different options and see what makes the most sense for your business.
Okay. So this payment collect material ends by encouraging businesses to get a personalized savings quote from them.
Right.
What should a business owner make of that?
Well, I think it's a good idea to get a quote from them and compare it to other options that you're considering.
So shop around, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You want to make sure you're getting the best deal and that you understand all the fees involved.
Right.
Because as we've seen, there's a lot more to it than just that headline percentage rate.
Exactly.
And they also mentioned this savings proposal section in their material that supposedly has best practices and tips on how to save money.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Might be worth checking that out, too.
Yeah. So I guess like at the end of the day, the takeaway here is that you really need to understand all these different fees and how they work.
Yeah. Knowledge is power. In this case, the more you understand about how payment processing works, the better equipped you'll be to make informed decisions for your business.
Right.
And those decisions can have a real impact on your bottom line.
Sure. And I guess like the final thought here for our listeners is, you know, we've talked about all these different fees and how they can change based on what kind of card your customer is using and how they're paying.
Right.
What small changes can you make in your business to maybe save a little bit of money?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think it's worth taking some time to think about your customer base. What kinds of cards do they typically use?
Right.
Are there any ways that you can encourage them to use cards that have lower interchange fees?
Like maybe offer a discount for cash or for debit cards.
Exactly. Or maybe you can negotiate a better rate with your processor if you can demonstrate that you have a high volume of those lower cost transactions.
Yeah. It's all about being strategic and understanding the details.
Exactly.
So that's something for our listeners to think about.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for diving deep with us today.
It was my pleasure.
It's been really interesting.
Yeah. This is a topic that I think every business owner should be aware of.
For sure.
And hopefully we've shed some light on it today.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening.